This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, and with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly.
Margo and Nick Cody.
All right, we just got to do a quick podcast intro. It's the 22nd of October. It's Thursday. It's been a massive morning. We opened a can of worms about a curfew for kids. We talked about small businesses in Brisbane.
Unlike us, we got a little bit serious for a little while this morning, but it was nice to take the temperature,
yeah,
Margo.
What did we do that was silly? Was there anything?
Silly?
What about that drunk bloke who fell into the drain? Yeah. Hey, is that silly?
Can't remember.
It's been bandwagon
hours ago. Margo can't do a piss, she's so sore.
Oh,
silly?
Yeah.
Come on.
Ladbrokes should have a multi on me. One, to call in sick for work tomorrow. Two, I will not get out of bed. And three, I will never, ever work out ever again.
Well, you did it twice in a day. Good to go.
Good
2021.
Good,
you'll be back.
Good odds.
We've also got the voice of Siri. What was her name again? It was Karen.
Karen.
Yeah. The voice of Siri on your iPhone.
She was interesting.
Yeah, she was great. She lives in the Wit Sundays, or she's just...
She moved back.
Back there, yeah. Enjoy that. That's all coming up in the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast.
Hey, you heard a great story. Yeah, we're talking about SES and they go looking for missing people and stuff like that. There was a little story last night how some heroes went out looking for a bloke. It was down the coast, went something like this.
A bizarre rescue on the Gold Coast today with a man falling down a large stormwater drain before having to be carried out by rescuers. The man admitting he had been drinking in the lead up to his fall, mixing coffee with vodka.
Coffee and vodka. Now, I looked it up.
That's a good combo.
Some of the
Russian coffee? Is that like the Irish coffee equivalent?
No specification, but I see espresso martinis are made out of coffee.
I was going to say all he needs is a bit of Kahlua and he's got himself an espresso.
Do we know anyone around here who drinks those sort of things? That you don't drink them at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, this guy, obviously, I think you start with vodka and then
How
you add the
How dare you make
other
assumptions
stuff.
About me like that, Marto?
All right.
I have before.
Sorry, I should.
I will again.
And I will again.
This bloke's obviously having a coffee. Oh, I'll go for a walk soon. Might just add some vodka. Is that how this...
Did the vodka become before the coffee or the coffee...
Who,
is this a chicken and egg scenario?
Whoever knows.
You know
what he
probably... First?
You know what he needs? Just water.
Why?
Because he's like, I want a coffee. Poor, might get me a bit jittery. Yeah. Vodka will take the edge off. Yeah. Just have neither one.
Yeah.
Go for a walk. Go for a walk. You might not fall down that stormwater drain, mate.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Obviously, grand final week this weekend. The NRL grand final Sunday night with our Sunshine Coast Storm taking on Penrith.
Go
on Saturday, no Lions, unfortunately, but Richmond versus Geelong in the AFL grand final.
Can I just also mention that the Brisbane Broncos women are playing in the grand final on Sunday as well?
Is that at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, coverage starts from 1, but I think they're on about 3.
There goes about 3.
So
go the Bronx.
Go the Broncos.
Get on the froths.
No,
in Sydney.
Yeah.
In Sydney.
So it'll be on telly.
Yeah.
Jeez, Dave.
You'll have to be half drunk by that one day.
What a great thing to do, though, if they win their grand final, which they should.
Celebrate.
The Broncos women, can just hang around for the grand final.
Well, they won the last 2 years, so this will be their third premiership contention. So go the Brisbane Broncos women.
Anyway, Richmond player, AFL player, Camden McIntosh, he's trading his way up. He's trading his way up. He started with a paperclip. He said he saw a documentary of a bloke in America who trades a red paperclip all the way up to a two-story farmhouse.
But he's been in a... Is this the bloke, Camden McIntosh?
Yeah.
Is this the bloke that took the welder? Everyone else took Nutribullets and PlayStation into quarantine. He took a welder?
Yeah.
He's a different cat.
Hang on a second. So he traded a paperclip for something with someone and then that with someone else and then something with someone else until he got...
He started with a paperclip and traded for a deck of cards. Got paperclip to a Rubik's Cube, Rubik's Cube to a deck of cards.
Sorry, slow down, because what happens? Does he get the Rubik's Cube and the other guy gets the paperclip?
Yeah.
Who the hell swaps a Rubik's Cube for a paperclip?
Somebody's really got to help you out at the start to get rid of that paperclip.
So he's got a Rubik's Cube, then what happened?
He's gone to a deck of cards and then he's taken a deck of cards to teammate Dusty Martin.
Yeah.
He's traded the deck of cards... for a signed pair of Dustin Martin's boots. You really need the help of friends there.
Can we stop down? Just remember that signed pair of Dusty's boots. Has he picked his car up after last year's grand final?
Still there.
Still there at the MCG.
It's probably easy to get it down in Melbourne now. No one's out and about.
Right. So he's now got Dusty's signed boots. He's still in the hub, though. He's not allowed out.
He's still in the hub, but he's then gone online and said, I've got a pair of Dusty Martin's signed boots.
Oh.
Who wants them? What will you give me? And somebody has offered him a small boat. So now he's
a mad Tigers fan.
Yeah, mad Tigers fan has swapped him for the Dusty Martin signed boots, and now he's got a tinny, and now he's taken the tinny to coach Damien Hardwick and said, can I swap you this for a day shadowing the Richmond coach inside the Tigers inner sanctum? So if he gets that experience, he's going to swap that experience for something else.
Oh, and unload that to somebody else.
Someone else.
And he said, let's be honest, I'm going to try and go from a paperclip to a red Ferrari. He reckons
someone will
with
end
this
him.
Day.
So where is he at now?
Well, he's got the boat and he thinks the next step, he'll be able to get the experience following Damien Hardwick around.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will swap him a Ferrari for that. And
what's a Ferrari worth? $300,000?
Yeah,
is a day with Damien Hardwick worth that?
Well, no. Nobody would ever be allowed to do it. It's an experience that money can't buy.
Money can't buy. It's valuable.
I'd rather the boat. And he's got the welder, so he can fix up any problems with the boat too.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm just wrapped. He's going about getting a Ferrari this way. Because most blokes named Camden with a K that I know would have just stolen it straight up. So he's done well. Good work staying honest, Camden McIntosh. Good luck for the weekend. The Big Breakfast,
Triple M. Let's have a little history rugby league history story here. Mm-hmm. The Melbourne Storm were created in, 1997 for Super League. And then they played in the normal competition when it came back together in 98. 99, they won the bloody comp. It's quite incredible. And from there, they've been the most successful club over the last 22 or 3 years. Everyone accept that little bit of history?
Yes.
It is what it is.
One of the men who was so important to them is with us right now. The bloke, won 2 premierships for the Broncos, played about 170 games for the Bronx. He'd already played nearly 60 for St. George. Legend of the game in 97, Johnny Rebo, when he set up the Melbourne Storm, took him down to sign all the players. He was there at the start. They go, gee, the Storm's got the best culture. Where did it come from? Chris Johns, hello, mate.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
All right. Now,
just a little bit of a history lesson first, mate. It was 98 we kicked off.
98? Didn't you play in the Super League in 97?
No, we didn't. No, the Super League, when they decided to bring everything back together, a lot of the Super teams got thrown out, but they did elect to form a new franchise called the Melbourne Storm. In 98.
Now, did John Rebo, who did, if anyone doesn't know, originally ran the Broncos, did he grab you and you would have been in your early 30s to sign players? Was that true?
Yeah, he offered me a job to become the first CEO and, having been part of the inaugural Broncos football team and, the building of that operation, it was just a wonderful opportunity to go down there and, be a pioneer for our game and go down there and, set up a rugby league franchise in the heartland of the AFL.
Yeah,
it was exciting times.
What was it like down there? How did people down in Melbourne take it when it all kicked off?
Oh, it was hard, mate. The actual AFL themselves in public and say, yes, what a great people, and, it's great to see another sport. But behind the scenes, they made it very difficult. There was no helping hands down there in those early stages. But it's interesting, I really look at this new Penrith team that's in the grand final this year, and that reminds me a lot of our first premiership, because it was only in our second year, and everyone wrote us off. They thought we were lucky to get there, and, we hadn't played in grand finals, and, a whole host of different excuses why we wouldn't do it. So we were massive underdogs.
Who did it? And who did an Anzac Day TikTok for you that year?
An Anzac Day TikTok?
Who was your loosest player?
We had a few loose players in those days. But, there's no TikTok back then. We were lucky because we were under the radar a fair bit, because we were just in Melbourne and, didn't get that much.
You could do anything you like because no one knew who anyone was, correct?
Exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
Hey, they talk about the culture these days. Was it established in those days? Was it clear? Everyone goes, Bellamy and Smith set the tone. What happened in those days?
Oh, well, the first coach was Chris Anderson. And, it was really good. Like the Broncos with John Rebo and myself, we were able to pinch a lot of the things that made Broncos great. And Chris Anderson, Canterbury had a lot of success as well. And Chris Anderson brought it down that he wanted a real family club. So the wives and the girlfriends and, it was a very close-knit community and a close-knit group. And, that initial pioneering group, they've really laid some great foundations for Craig Bellamy to come along and probably develop one of the most remarkable cultures that rugby league's ever seen. I think they've been to 8 or 9 prelim finals in the last 10 years.
Incredible.
It's just crazy what they've been able to achieve.
Johnsy, speaking of culture, we saw at the Brisbane Broncos this year, obviously the culture was just not right. You were really vocal about Kevvy Walters not getting the job a couple of years ago. He's now been appointed head coach there. I know he's a mate of yours. How do you think he's going to change the culture at the Broncos? And do you think this is a really good decision on their behalf to have him there over Paul Green?
Oh, 100%, Margo. You know, I think no one deserves a shot more than Kevvy. You know, he's bled for that club and he's been the heart and soul of that club, and now he can become that again. And I think, how's he going to do it? It's just going to be Kevvy being Kevvy and trying to inspire young men and a group of people to try to play for each other and play for their coach and play for the state.
Hey, Johnsy, I know it's a wide-ranging chat with you. Put rugby league to the side. That's on Sunday. Can I talk to you about small business? Because I heard from somebody else, I haven't asked you, you guys at Hoppy's Car Wash are looking for workers. Is that correct? And how are things going there with the small business?
It is, Marto. And I was at a luncheon yesterday, grand final luncheon yesterday, talking to a lot of other small business owners, and they're all saying the same thing. It's very difficult. Like, especially in our industry, we rely on international tourists and student visas and all those people,
hey,
backpackers coming into our country and looking for work. And, you know, that I think it was 10,000 a month or something were flying in. With no one being able to come into Australia, there's a massive vacuum of jobs. You know, there's a massive, like, need for people to work. And it's hard with this job seeker so good and the job keeper programs. It's really hard to find people who want to work. I was talking to a bloke yesterday that they had to plough 500,000 ton of watermelon into the ground because they can't get pickers.
Jesus.
And other people, like cherry growers down south, are distraught. You know, coming into their Christmas season, they're not going to be able to get the cherries off the bushes.
Are we noticing that we're at a loss for people to fill these jobs because it's not the work that locals want to do? Australian kids don't want to do.
No, when we do finally open up to New South Wales and Queensland, we're getting all these people to come up from Queensland, from the southern states to holiday. I know places like Cairns and those sort of things, they're really going to struggle to open up their coffee shops and open up their little restaurants because they usually rely on that massive influx of backpackers. And, you know, and it's sad, but I think the kids that are, you know, leaving school this year, you know, the job seeker is such an appealing thing for them. And, you know, to go up and, you know, get out of your comfort zone and go and do a hard day's work for some people, like we're travelling to North Queensland to pick watermelons or to Cairns to, you know, work part-time in your holidays, it's not appealing to Australians at the moment.
Johnsy, you've got, what, three or four locations of car washes? How many staff would you be looking for?
Oh, mate, we've got 11 sites now. We've got nearly 300 staff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got 50 to 60 jobs all the time vacant. You know?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnsy, we got to wrap things up and keep moving. Thanks for that, mate. Yep. Good luck, Storm, on Sunday too. Hey, we might open that up to a few other small business owners as well. What's going on with you guys? Well, so if you had a kid who's looking for a job, Hoppy's Car Wash, give them a ring straight away. Thanks, mate. But also other small businesses. Are things going well or... Well, are they going slowly? Do you need workers? Small business owners, are you like Chris Johns? The business is going okay, but you can't get workers. Tell us what's going on around the place. Dwayne from Samford, what do you got, mate?
Oh, I basically work for a larger business, a smaller business, and unfortunately we've had to stand down probably half of our workers, and so they're on JobKeeper at the moment.
Yes.
And as you say, being so, you know, the government's obviously got to spend a lot of money to try and keep the economy going, keep people alive. So they've generously given all this money. It's not enough now that it's been reduced for them to live. So they need to start looking for another job, but they go and get another job to help out these people, pick fruit or whatever,
yeah,
and they're going to get taxed 50% of that wage.
So
basically they go and work for $300 a week, you know, doing 8-hour days, 5 days a week for $300, and they're just thinking, well, it's not worth it.
Is that because it's like a second job if they were on JobKeeper?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. And that's I think, the issue that people go, well, I might as well sit at home and do nothing and just survive as best I can rather than go out and bust my ass 5 days a week for no money, you know?
I didn't realise that was still a thing. I remember as a kid, that had a second job got taxed in that high tax bracket. Surely it's the combined income.
You need the second job to be a cashy, let me tell you.
Joel.
No, that doesn't exist anymore. Joel.
Hello. Yeah.
Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, good. Are you a small business owner? Are you struggling to find workers?
We're struggling to find workers. We can find plenty of work. We're actually up on last year's turnovers, doing small landscape jobs and landscape maintenance work. And same thing, guys just don't want to work for the wage that's out there. So,
are you finding that not the right type of people are applying for the jobs as well? Because I'm finding that small businesses are getting pickier, or businesses in general are getting pickier with who they're choosing to employ.
Absolutely. There's, like, we'll put an ad out there for employees and we'll get literally hundreds of applicants. And out of those hundreds of applicants, there will be half of them that will never return your call, even if you're trying to employ them. So they're just putting themselves out there for the job keeper, job seeker status and whatever. And the guys that do come in, that do want to work, we've had people interview and super stoked and not show up the next day.
Because the thing is the requirement for job seeker is that you apply for two jobs a month.
Absolutely.
To be able to receive the payments.
They're using you
so
to
people
justify.
Are just doing it.
Oh, no. Brad from the Sunny Coast.
Yeah, mate, I went into the local florist at Cotton Fair on Friday for my birthday, and the lady that I've known, she's owned there for about 7 years. She can't find anyone at all to come and work at the florist anymore. So she's had to employ a courier to deliver the flowers when she used to deliver local for free, and it's $25 a bunch of flowers extra now.
Oh, God.
So her clients are the ones that are being punished here because no one wants to go and work at the florist. I mean, what a beautiful job. Be surrounded by lovely flowers.
Yeah, Margot, you love it. You've been stealing them.
From the median strip.
There's Nigel.
There's a few on the burner phone. Oh, yeah, what's this? I've got five jobs advertised, mechanics, and to find quality applicants is difficult. I'm offering money, but no one wants to leave their current jobs. There's a shortage of skilled mechanics around.
Well, I thought that apprenticeships and trade industry jobs would be filling up because of the budget that they handed out.
Weren't they offering half?
The federal
government. They were going to cover half the price
half
of an apprentice.
Half the price of an apprentice.
I don't know. What's the other? Here's one. Jason from Caboolture on the burner phone. Oh, he's 51 years old. A familiar story. Gets overlooked because of his age. Maybe it'll be possible if you're in your 50s to get a job.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Is it the fact that people don't want to work, or is it the people that are applying for the jobs may not be qualified for the job, but at least they're trying to apply? Why don't you just give them a go? They might not be half bad.
He's Nigel from Carolee. What do you know, mate?
Yeah, hi. I run an organisation called Aussie Painters Network. Currently, we advocate for the painting industry. Currently, we have 94 employers on our books looking for apprentices.
94?
In painting.
All painting apprentices?
Painting alone.
Yeah.
All painting apprentices.
Nigel, can I just ask, you wouldn't care if the apprentice was 21, 26 or whatever, if someone's looking to reinvent themselves, it's a bloody good business.
In the last 2 weeks, we've placed a 42-year-old in an apprenticeship, one was a 33-year-old woman.
Yeah, change of direction.
And exactly. Totally. We've 27-year-olds, and we're finding the reports coming back from the employers about people that the mature age is that they've got commitments, they want to work, they're keen to work, they're looking for a change in career path. So it's really an opportunity with everything that's going on.
Hold on, say your business name again.
Aussie Painters Network.
Righto. So you all take calls? Like somebody's just finishing school. My son, let's say my son's about to go to school this week. Well, don't go to school this week. Go and get an apprenticeship.
Well, Jason from Caboolture, who texts her on the burner phone, he's looking for a job. Maybe he could ring the Australian Painters Network and get
you
a
need
job.
Great patience.
They're looking for someone.
Well, things are out there.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Guys, I just attempted to go to the toilet in the break there and I had to literally hold on to the bar. I had to go to the disabled toilet, hold on to the bar and the wall at the same time to ease my way down onto the toilet because my legs, I feel like, are going to fall off. Yesterday, I did.
Hold on, we just let it slide by that because you've done a workout, you can use the disabled toilet. That's not what a disability is.
I look like I'm in one of those fast walking races, you know, where you're not walking slowly and you're not running. What is that called?
Speed walking.
Because I can't walk properly because my quads, like anything between my hip and my knee, feel like they're going to fall off.
Is an exercise good for you?
Oh, it's awful, Marto. And not only once did I work out, but twice.
Doing two sessions.
Did
Who
I
are
work
you?
Out?
Yeah. What is this,
sessions.
An NFL preseason? What are you up to?
It's a new me, apparently. I committed to working out with a girlfriend yesterday after the show in the morning around 10:30.
Well, you did take off. You said, I'm training.
I got to go. I've committed. I need someone to make me accountable because I won't just work out on my own. Yeah. I'm not that person.
No self-control and drive.
No discipline whatsoever. Yeah. So I just need someone to say, hey, are you coming this morning? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming. But little did I remember that I had also committed to being Mental Health Month. I'd committed to going to a studio, a Pilates and yoga studio out at Redland Bay to help them raise some awareness. New Dawn Studio and Pilates. Right. They have opened up a new place and I said I'd come along and...
Can you repeat that? The tradies just have to write it down on the job site. Where's the new Pilates
studio? Shut up, Marco. Hey, Margo's telling me about
ladies,
a Pilates
the
studio.
The ladies in Cleveland said all their husbands love listening to us. So hello to all the husbands who love listening to us at Redland Bay.
Cleveland or Redland Bay?
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Cleveland is a part of Redland Bay.
You've just insulted a few of them.
I don't know. Well, but anyway. But I thought, I'll be fine because she said, oh, we're just going to get some photos of you on the Pilates machine. And you.
They're tough,
and then
Pilates.
I turned up and there's all these women there doing classes of Pilates and yoga. So I felt bad. So then I thought, well, I've got to join in. So there I am doing a session of Pilates and a session of yoga off the back of already doing a weight session in the morning.
Jesus.
I tripled down and now
I
don't ever have to exercise ever again.
Let's be honest, there's nothing worse for your mental health than knowing you've got to exercise twice in one day. This is yuck. I don't want to get out of bed.
And the next day you've got to wear a nappy to work because you can't go to the toilet. Well, how good is exercise?
Triple M. As we see every time this year when the political campaign rolls around, the Labor throwing barbs at LNP, LNP are throwing barbs at Labor.
And they throw money at everyone going, hey, we've got an answer to this. Here's $500 million. We got an answer for that. Here's $300 million. And yesterday they threw up a strange one when they were up in Townsville.
Yeah. Deb Frecklington has been very vocal about her love for North Queensland and she's got some big plans for them.
Crime is out of control. Business as usual just doesn't cut it.
See? Fear. Fear gets your votes. And if people in towns were obviously going, we're sick of these kids running around our streets at night time. We're scared. We're fearful. Same thing happens here in Brisbane. They've gone crazy. Even over the last week, there's been so many break-ins. And she's finally reckons she's got an idea to do something about it.
We see the images across our news, you know, cars being stolen, police chases, businesses being damaged, rocks being thrown through glass windows of businesses. And the people of North Queensland, they're living in fear and they've had enough.
And the kids, and that's the point I saw Frecklington making yesterday. It was a good one. I went, oh, yeah, I'm trying not to be supportive of any parties. But I went, oh, yeah, that is a great idea because the cops pick them up and they know if they're below 17 or below, they can laugh in the cops' faces because they can't do anything about it. Well, finally, she's going, we're going to start to make the parents accountable for the children's behaviour by fining them.
Parents will be fined $250 for each child and each time they're detained.
So the new plan is that anyone under the age of 14 cannot be out on the street after 8 p.m. without a reasonable excuse. Anyone between the ages of 15 and 18 cannot be out on the street without a reasonable excuse after 10 p.m. And if the police pick you up, you're on your way home, you're doing the right thing, they're saying, that's okay.
We're making a
reasonable decision. You're fine. Keep going. But if you are being a nuisance, you're doing the wrong thing, you have no purpose to be out and about, then they can either take you to
a refuge.
What they're saying is a community refuge and hold them there until a parent or a social worker could come and collect them. Or otherwise, parents are going to start finding themselves, you know, in debt with fines for letting their kids roam free.
You know
free.
What I reckon, Margo? Don't just make it North Queensland. Do the whole bloody Queensland, the whole joint. Why are there kids that age? You're not doing a job as a parent. You should actually have a license,
but
I reckon.
I think a curfew is, it's not going to help that many people. Like, kids are just going to be out regardless if they're from a troubled home, if there's something happening at the house where they don't feel safe. It happens. I grew up in a rough area down in Melbourne. There'd be kids out and about all the time. Sometimes it's not because they're going to cause trouble. They're just out of the house because it's not safe to be in the house.
Well, let's start finding their parents, and if they don't pay the fines, put them in jail.
But I think if you're at the point where your kid's just roaming the streets, a fine's not going to change anything because you're already...
So you don't think a curfew is going to help?
No.
No.
No, I think it affects more people negatively than it would positively.
What? It's a big breakfast's can of worms.
Let's check out what everyone else thinks.
We need to open up one of these. curfews should be in place for children under a certain age. Let's not just roll this out up in North Queensland. Let's roll this out
everywhere.
Everywhere, because something needs to stop. People are living in fear. I mean, we have it here in Brisbane. Northside gang, Southside gang. We need to make, because parents don't care. They probably don't even know where their kids are. We need to make, it's not just about, you know, disciplining the children and taking action against them. Parents need to be responsible and accountable.
Hey, listen, that's everybody. You have a go. If you're a cop, you might know a little bit more about this, because kids know when they get to 18, they're going to go to jail. But before that, they laugh
What's
in the cop's face.
What's happening out at the youth detention centre? Chris from Wynnum, good morning.
G'day, how you going?
Where do you sit?
Look, when I first heard Marto describe the plan, it sounded good, but then I thought about it, and I got a very good friend of mine that had a kid who's recently turned 18, as it turns out.
Yeah.
And he was just uncontrollable. So she's a good parent. She's a tough love type of parent. She's got three other kids that are turning out great. But this kid was just, she had no control over him at all. He was well known to the police in the area, if you get my gist.
Yeah.
But fining her $250 a throw every time they picked the kid up to no good. She was at her wit's end trying to sort of keep him under control. But she had her other kids to care about. So she sort of just had to let him run riot. And she tried her best, but sort of, you know, throwing her a fine all the time was just not going to help.
What about fining the father?
Well, no, she was a stepdad. And also a good friend of mine. He was more than willing to try and sort the situation out.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't let him because the kid's her son, you know.
Chris, do you think parents in the position like your friend don't have enough support?
I think the legal system as it currently stands, and this is what everyone says, the way it's set up to deal with juvenile, I don't know what the fix is, but something needs to be fixed. What? The curfew's not it, I think, because that would punish a parent when she had no control.
Okay.
I'll be honest, she didn't have a load of spare cash, so it was going to make the situation worse.
Well, therefore, send them out bush to these people, though, who do want to accept them. They can't live in a society. If you don't want to live in a society, you've made your decision by continually disobeying the law. Go out west where there's no one else and see how you go.
Because a lot of the time these kids come from families where they don't know any different or they don't know any better. It's a learned behaviour. It's a cycle of drug and alcohol and physical abuse.
Cut the cycle. Get rid of them.
But the thing is if we institutionalise them, and this is what they're saying about the correctional facilities, it just encourages them to keep coming back. And then they move from junior correctional facilities into jails and just breeding criminals.
I keep on talking about get them out of the city. Have you seen those stories about those guy that works with all the Kelpie dogs? You send
Maybe
them out there for 6 months, 8 months.
Boot camps.
Steve from Wellington Point, curfews, are they good or bad?
No, I think that's absolutely ridiculous, brother. All we're going to do is, there is good parents out there with delinquent kids that can't be controlled. We start finding parents, those kids are going to become homeless because they'll get to the point where we can't pay this anymore, we can't do it, so they're gone.
So if we don't put in place curfews and we don't make the parents accountable because the fines are unnecessary, what do we do, Steve?
Well, the problem is, why are we blaming the parents? Sometimes the parents, like, I know of one family that they have a grandmother who looks after the children because the parents are the mother and father have disappeared.
Yep.
She does her absolute best, but the son is a lunatic. Why should she be fined? She's on the pension because she can't control him. She at least gives him a good home to come to sleep, and she does her absolute best.
Okay.
This kid will be on the streets if she has to pay fine.
What do you reckon we do with these shit kids then, Steve?
Well, I don't know that. I've got no idea. I don't have shit kids. So,
you won't get a fine.
I don't know.
But do
we want our system full of kids that are just on the streets? That's just going to be worse if they're just out there homeless.
As Steve said, the mum and dad have disappeared, so the kid has to be with grandma. He's already from clearly a home situation that's not perfect, and now he starts getting in more and more trouble. Then he has kids young. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Poverty, jail, again, again, and again.
Yeah, how do we stop it, though? What's the solution, if not this, what?
It's not the curfew. The curfew is not going to do anything.
Tell
that
us
kid's
what,
a
then.
Shitty kid.
Well, give us an idea then.
As you said, Marto, that great idea, sending the kids out west to those things where they learn how to work, learn how to cooperate properly, you know?
Ship them out there on buses. Sharon from Maroomba Downs.
If they try to run away, they've got about 40 Ks to get. If they can manage that, they can come back to society.
Get in the Olympics.
Yes. Sharon.
Yes, hello.
Sorry. Hi, Sharon.
So my thoughts are, a curfew is a negative punishment that isn't necessarily going to address the issue. It's only going to create more of a problem. Why not, let's try and find a positive way of dealing with the issue. You know, what is the issue? Is it domestic violence? Like Mardo said, domestic violence. Is it drugs in the family? Is it that there's not the support? You can punish people for things, but that's not going to solve the core of the issue. And I don't have the solution, but I certainly don't think negative retribution is a positive way of dealing with things.
Well, they say that, you know, as a parent, I've learned that positive reinforcement is a really good way at addressing, you know, negative behaviour. Maybe we need to put our arms around these kids and give them a really big cuddle.
That's because you're there for your kids. A lot of people aren't, which is why they're out in the street.
No, but that's what I'm saying. As a government, maybe instead of punishing them and ostracising them, maybe we need to cuddle them. Maybe we need to give them programs. Maybe we need to give them rehabilitation. Maybe we need to offer them more government-funded options instead of just throwing them into correctional facilities.
Well, we might have gone a bit hard too early. 60% of our callers are against the curfew.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, remember Tractor Boy who we were talking about yesterday, this kid?
I'm 17, and next year I'm hoping to drive my Chamberlain 9G tractor around Australia.
Sam!
Remember he's driving his tractor?
Well, fighting off chicks all day yesterday.
Just for people who've
been on the news.
People who didn't hear us talking about him yesterday, and he talked about getting his out of his L's and into his P's.
I got my P plates a week and a half ago, to the amusement of a lot of people. Because up until then, I've had to put someone in the tractor with me, which is an interesting experience for them, but went all right.
Nerd alert. That's a lot.
You know, I'm only making fun of him because he got his P's 14 years before I did.
But he's driving a tractor around Australia.
He owns a tractor. He bought it himself. He worked and he saved up. What a cutie.
All right. Well, so therefore, he wants to go around Australia. So let's say by the time he finishes driving around Australia at 30 kilometres and now he's 18, maybe 19, and you go, what do you do next? When you're that big a nerd and doofus, what do you do next? Well, I think I found his adult equivalent.
Armed with his metal detector, earmuffs on, meet 40-year-old Wayne Ryan. He's a Brisbane tradie turned hobbyist treasure hunter.
Go, Wayne, go!
Rain, hail or shine, you can usually catch him scoping the Beachmere area, picking up whatever he can find.
Yep. You know what it can't detect? Mates.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
We are here for Ladbrokes. They are changing the way you multi this spring carnival.
I know we say the Cox Plate's on Saturday, Arvo, which leads into the AFL Grand Final, but let's talk about some other multis, like your multis on the footy. Like the NRL, you know, we were saying yesterday, Cam Smith hitting Big Nelson Asofa-Solomona, he's paying $41, okay? And you can
for
buy.
For what? First try.
First try scorer. You go Nelson into, say, Brian To'o from Penrith, if he's on the wing and he scores most games. Go into him, go into Melbourne Storm to score first, go into Melbourne to win at halftime, full time. If that's your cup of tea, $199 for $1.
Whoa.
Well, that's great.
That's a multi. What do you got? AFL. Give me an AFL. Yeah. Give me an example of an AFL. Like, say, if I want a Richmond, Richmond win.
Richmond to win by 1 to 39. That's paying $2.05. Yeah. Bashir Hooley from Richmond. Only bloke to kick more than two goals on me in junior footy. Yeah.
Did you play against him?
Played against him in juniors Melbourne. He had a beard at 16. Something sus. Yeah. Hooley to have more than 20 disposals. Yeah. $2.08.
Yeah.
Dustin Martin, anytime goal kicker.
Yeah, he'll score $1.40.
Gary Rowan, anytime goal kicker. Kicker, $1.55.
All right, I put $1 on that.
But Sammy from Geelong, first goal scorer, he's paying $34 to kick the first goal.
What's his last name? Sammy who?
I don't know how to say
Menegola.
Menegola, yeah, right.
I don't know Sam Menegola. You combine all that, that's $234 for $1.
The world's your oyster. Fair enough.
Ladbrokes, back yourself. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
They're just giving cash away.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi. And with their new multi features, giving you more chances to win. Gamble responsibly. Triple M.